May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from the gospel reading that Deacon Bracken read. And I've spoken from this over the years a number of times. It's one of my favorite places in scripture, period. And I'm not going to exactly do what I would normally do, but I just wanted to share something that God's put in my heart the last few days. This is when the shepherds come, or when the angels come to the shepherds, it says in verse 8 again, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood over them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Let me read you a little bit about the good news, the great joy, and what it means for Christ to come as Savior, which means infinitely more than just the fact that your sins are forgiven and you're going to go to heaven one day. And we're not going to, again, take all the time to talk about what all that represents. But listen to Zechariah's prophecy when John the Baptist was born and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he began to give this word. I shared this one of the devotionals the last week or two. But when he first found out that his wife Elizabeth was to get pregnant, he didn't even believe it was possible. And the result was he couldn't speak for 9 months. God just dealing with him. It wasn't punishment. It was just God teaching him some stuff. And so here's the man who went from not even believing it was possible because they were too old and she had been barren all those years, to now the fact she's given birth to the forerunner of the Messiah. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he begins to give a prophetic word. And this prophetic word's amazing because of things it decrees what he's come to save us from. But it's also amazing because Zechariah speaks of it in past tense. Now you understand, Jesus hasn't born yet. But one of the things that happens when you're spirit-filled, you begin to think of things and proclaim things as though they already were, even though you maybe don't see them yet in the natural. Calling those things which are not as though they are. That's what faith is like. You don't have to see it to believe it. As a matter of fact, you won't see it until you believe it. You got to see it in the spiritual realm so you can see it in the natural. But this is verse 67 from Luke 1. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished, past tense, redemption for his people. Now again, Christ wasn't born yet. And raised up for us a horn of salvation, of victory, in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies, plural, and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, God's a promise keeper, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, and to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, may serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, speaking of John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now I'm going to read one more scripture to you, then sort of briefly tie some things together. This is the Christmas story from John's perspective, which was more theological and not historical. It says this, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and full of truth. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And by the most significant thing, and we talk about this every year and even talk about it before, not just Christmas season or Advent, about the incarnation, the nativity, is that one of the things that God was saying is that he was redeeming humanity, that he had not given up on humanity, that we as people were created for a great nobility. We were created to carry glory for a great noble purpose. And that purpose was we were created in his image according to his likeness. We were created to carry his presence and to reveal his likeness. That's what we were created to do. And the work of salvation, redemption, was to restore us to our original purpose, to once again carrying his presence, the Word being made flesh in your humanity and mine, the fact that Jesus was born as a frail, poor baby to some poor kids. One of the things that speaks to us is that God can inhabit frail humanity. Now, Jesus is calling in terms of his calling as the Son of God to fulfill the purposes of the cross were unique. Jesus never sinned. He was tempted in every way, likened to us, but he never sinned. But he was fully human, not just fully God. And in his humanity, and clothed, who he was in his two natures and clothing, human flesh, was also telling us, reminding us, this is the purpose for humanity, for Dan and for Chuck and for Andrew, for all of us. And that's that we were created unique from every other creature. We were set apart to carry his presence and to reveal his likeness, which is another word for glory. We were created to contain, carry, and enjoy in deep fellowship his presence and reveal his glory. See, if you think the word glory, think likeness. Likeness is something that it's something about a person, a persona that's recognizable. That's the glory. God's attributes, God's presence made tangible, traceable, something you can encounter. And we were created for that. We were created for glory. We were created to manifest glory because we were created to carry his presence. And when it says here, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Son of God. I understand there's something very unique about that. But our calling is the same. God could say about you, the Word has now been, you've been enclosed. You've been with Christ. You've been clothed with Christ. And your calling is to manifest his glory. It's so that the world around you, again, would experience and encounter the glory of God. Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do even greater. And that's not just works of raising the dead and healing the sick and casting out demons and the blind seeing. We've seen those things happen. But it's also the miraculous work of giving love to the loveless, to the broken, the disenfranchised, the lonely, the poor. It's actually much easier to pray for somebody who's blind. It costs you personally a lot less than to get down in the dirt with somebody and to sacrificially give what we don't think we have time to give, which is time and of ourselves, the inconvenience of love. But all those are opportunities for us, for once again, the Word to be made flesh, fleshed out in us, and people around us beholding glory. And whenever people encounter the likeness of God, whether it's in his commitment to heal sickness, to cast out demons, to raise the dead, or simply to love the poor, the broken, the rejected, disenfranchised, the poorest of the poor, all those reveal the likeness of God. All those are expressions of the goodness of God and of the love of God. And this is what God is calling us to. And this is the thing that God just wanted to remind me of and remind us all of. We're called to go out into the world and the world to be able to experience the likeness, the glory of God as they encounter us. That we don't just passively drift our way through this lifetime until we get old and one day go to heaven. But we're called to deposit glory, to make a difference, for the light of the glory of God to shine and dispel darkness everywhere we go, to enforce what Zechariah said, that God has delivered us from our enemies. Enemies like poverty, like cancer, like loneliness, like rejection, like on and on and on and on. The thing that I struggle with, is that we feel sometimes inadequate because we haven't been perfect. And it's easy for us to understand that Christ was able to change the world around him on his time on earth, not just what he did at the cross, because he carried the glory of God and he released the glory of God everywhere we went because he never sinned. So there was like no blockage. But you see, that's why Jesus said to these shepherds, I've mentioned to you before, in the days of Christ, and that would still be true at some level today if you've ever been to Israel, mostly as Muslims, I forget what they're called. What are they called? The wandering people? Yeah, but they're not called nomads. But they're Bedouins, yeah. And that are shepherds, mainly. But shepherds were some of the poorest people. And they were some of the most disrespected and the lowest on the rung of society. And yet, angels came to them first. And then said to them, this is going to be the sign to you that a Savior showed up. And the Savior is for you. There's this great joy for all the people. They said, here's the sign. You're going to find this Christ child wrapped up in strips of cloth, just little pieces of rags that were used to help clean the manger and the place where the animals live. And again, those of you who've been around a while have heard me talk about this before. But this was not a very sterile environment. Animals were not very clean. And these are donkeys and cows and drinking or eating from this manger, and saliva that's unclean, and those rags were used for different things. And they wrapped the Son of God in that. And he said, that's going to be the sign to you. Well, I'm sure that that wasn't the first poor child that was wrapped up in swaddling clothes. But it was a sign to them about this whole Savior thing, about this great news of a great joy for all the people thing. And that is that not only does the Word become flesh, the Word becomes flesh in people of real flesh, that Jesus is not afraid or ashamed to clothe himself in imperfection, that we don't always get it right. And many of us have a history, maybe even a recent history, and it's not perfect. But we have this treasure, the glory of God in 2 Corinthians 4, in the person of Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, strips of cloth like you and me. Maybe you got impatient on the way over here with somebody in your car, and the enemy just tells you, condemns you. Because you walk in condemnation, you can't ever walk in faith. And is there a place of repentance and cleansing? Of course. But the sign to me is that you're not too broken for him to manifest his glory through. Regardless of what your history's been, the whole world is filled with his glory. In the messiest, yuckiest situation, he can clothe himself with that and reveal his likeness. So the question you ask, I don't like asking it this way because it assumes that he's not with you. You know, if you're in a situation and the old question was, what would Jesus do if he were here? I don't like that because if you finish it, it says, you know, what would Jesus do if he were here, and he is here? But it's not a bad thing to read scripture and go, if you walk past a person who's crippled or you're in a situation where somebody who's poor or broken, somebody who's in need, it's not bad to go, what's your history here, Jesus? What would you like to do? Because you see, he doesn't want to tell your story. He's going to tell his story. And only when you totally surrender to his story, you begin to see the signs and wonders of glory and likeness begin to manifest itself. Now, I told you this little story, and I'll close with this. When I went to the doctor's office the other day and had to pick up something for Olivia, and I had my collar on, and I was walking out, and there was this lady, not too old, she was on a cane, kind of struggling, and I opened the door for her, and I said, be careful, you know, don't slip on any of the wet leaves. In the parking lot, she said, oh, I don't need to fall with all the things wrong with me. Now, I'm like in this hurry to get to the car because I'm already running late to get home. I'm supposed to be home at a certain time because the sitters are there. And I keep hearing the Holy Spirit go, pray for her, pray for her. And I keep moving. And I finally get in my car and I'm hearing them go, oh, it's too late now, Lord. And I looked and, of course, she's coming right by my car to get in her car. Just barely, you know, moving. I thought, so I rolled the window down and I just said, ma'am, would you reach your hand? Would you mind if a priest prayed for your healing? She was thrilled. Now, I haven't seen her, so I don't know whether she was fully healed in that moment. But that's just an example of, I know this is a Christmas service. This should be all about making you feel excited about Christmas and about all the gifts. But let me just say this to you. You are the gift of God to the world. You are. You're the light of the world. That's what it says. There's no plan B. Jesus is still on planet Earth, and he's on planet Earth in your humanity, in the rags of your broken, fallen, frail humanity. And one of the things about spirit-filled living, you've heard me say this, there's got to be a pipe open on both ends. What you receive freely, you got to give away to keep freely receiving. Because there's got to be a flow from, if you clog it up, the flow will stop. And so my prayer is that God, the Holy Spirit, would begin to supernaturally cause you and I to stay alert for opportunities to manifest the likeness of God. Because we should have that mindset that in every situation that we find ourselves in, we learn the discipline of being conscious of we are carriers of Christ. Now, what does Christ want to do in this situation? Because he has a way of transforming lives and creating holy chaos and totally transforming environment. I mean, what if the next time you're in Walmart, you pray for somebody to get out of a wheelchair? You think Walmart will? You're going to have a hard time. You think it was hard getting out of the line in Walmart. You'll have a hard time getting to the line in Walmart. But we're just so busy. But part of it is because we've forgotten our identity, and then therefore we don't know our purpose. It's not your dreams that he's here to fulfill. You're here to fulfill his dreams and the dreams of a lost and broken and dying world that's crying out for healing, for love, and for wholeness. That's really what this season's about. The gift of God to your humanity so that you can be the gift of God to humanity. So a lot of you have some time in the next week or two. You have not maybe at work as much. Start looking. Lift up your eyes, like Jesus told his disciples after the woman in Samaria. Lift up your eyes. The harvest is white. There are a lot of people out there. You carry Christ. Now be the body of Christ to them. Don't reinvent his story. Just get in the flow and go with it. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.